Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 168 of Star Wars and Scotch. We're here to talk Bad Batch, my trip to Oga's Cantina last week, and some updates on the Ubisoft game Star Wars Outlaws. Ooh. But Tim, how was your week?
Not as exciting as yours.
I did go to Disney.
Did go to Disney.
I got the bug again too. It was fun. I had fun, Tim. I had fun.
Oh, I thought you got COVID again.
No, I had fun, meaning I got the Disney bug.
I thought you. Well, you started like when we got on this conversation this morning. You were like, I tweaked my neck.
That was Monday. I already come home from Disney.
I just assumed that was just another thing. Okay, good. I'm glad that you had fun. Great.
I had fun.
How was Oga's Cantina? Let's just get that out of the way. How was that? I want
to
know.
I did it, and I don't have to go back. That's how
I felt about it, too. Okay, good. I'm glad that we're on the same page.
It was a very, surreal experience. I actually walked in, and the Cantina music was playing, so it couldn't have been more of a perfect moment.
Yeah.
I don't like that I had to sit next to strangers. That was my first
issue. Oh, you had the community table.
I had a booth because there were five of us and two kids. So they put us in a booth, and then they put us in the other half of the booth was another set of strangers who we made friends with.
That's weird. We never did that. We had a little standing. We just had a little table.
No, we had a booth, and we had to share with a group of folks from Chicago who were very nice.
I'm sure
they were on
lovely,
a work trip.
Still, sometimes people aren't lovely.
Nick. And I told Nick to listen to the podcast. So hi, Nick, if you're listening to the podcast. it was, I couldn't see the DJ cause I was in the booth next to the DJ.
Okay. So you're on the other side of the room.
If you're coming in the door, I was like straight shot to the back of the room.
Yeah.
In that booth.
Yep.
It was a really awesome experience to see it once. I had one of the drinks. I know you got the collector's cup. I couldn't justify it mentally.
It was the Endor tiki cup, and it was like $20. Yeah, I'm sure it was. So, pretty sure it was like $25, something like that. It wasn't like too bad.
It was like $48.
Did you have? We had an AP pass.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have one. I might get one again.
Shaved off some of the dollars on the collector's cup.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more aggressive about asking about that now too, which I found interesting. But overall, it was very cool. The decor is amazing. You know, for those who don't know, my wife's a architect, interior designer, and I was asking her, I was like, "Do you think the wires like hanging from the bar are they functional?" She goes, "They probably mixed prop with functional mm-hmm. wiring."
Yep.
And she was just going around the room like pointing stuff out, and not really shortcuts they took, but just really creative things that they did to make the environment interesting. She did the same thing. We went to be our guest at Magic Kingdom, and we ate in the West Wing, and very cool room. And she was doing the same thing.
We always get the other one. Anytime we've ever done be our guest, it's always in the really pretty room. We've never gotten to sit in the scary room.
So when they went last time and I got sick, they were in the room that's not in the movies, the green something, the green garden or something, rose garden, something. And then when you walk in, if you've ever never been there, it's the main hall where Beast and Belle do their dance, which, by the way, why is Belle not a part of the meet and greet there?
She does. She comes around with Beast.
No. both times that Danielle said it's just the Beast, and he just walks around the room, waves, and then leaves.
Oh, no, it's... No, last time it was Belle and Beast.
Interesting, interesting.
That's strange.
But yeah, West Wing was very cool to sit in there. Jules did not like the thunder and the lightning, but we had a good time.
All right.
She did like Oga's Cantina, though. Good. She was pointing at all the stuff on the walls. And then... yeah, I didn't really do much else in Galaxy's Edge. We did see Rey and Chewie, and one of the characters from the comic books was there, which I found is an interesting choice to have comic book characters. Who? As a, I forget their name. I'll text Audrey. Audrey found it.
They had a comic book character? That's interesting.
They were doing the meet and greet with Rey and Chewie.
Sabine's now a character you can meet.
We looked for Sabine, Mando, Grogu, the little droids, which I think are Disneyland only right now.
Aww.
And those were the only ones we saw. The wait for Rise of Resistance was 130 minutes.
Wow.
So I didn't go on that again.
Learned a really cool, there's like a single rider trick that you can do for Smuggler's Run. You can do... dual seater single rider, or I guess it's like single rider, but you bring two people up and they're like, oh, we're dual riders, and they just throw you both in the engineering every time.
Because no one wants to do engineering. No one wants to do engineering. Pilot.
Yep. So you just, they just fill you in the back.
Interesting.
Yep. You can do up to two.
Anyways, I've been the pilot.
I've never been the pilot. I've only ever done engineering, and the people that were piloting, I don't think ever played a video game in their life. So it was really interesting for me.
I've been the pilot, and Tim, there is nothing in the universe like grabbing that throttle and setting that thing to light speed. It is just,
all right, I'm gonna
it is your childhood in one moment.
Need that clipped for me, please. Thank you very much. There's nothing like grabbing that throttle and pushing it to light speed. Got it.
You see how I make like an emotional, lighthearted, childlike moment? And
Kevin,
Tim,
I've spent the last 10 years of my life on the internet almost every day. I can't help it. I'm broken. But you know what's not broken?
That's true. King's Coast Coffee?
The link to GCXevent.com. Head on over to GCXevent.com. Get yourself your GCX tickets. We are, how many days, Kevin? We're getting close.
Days? Let me see.
Oh, it's going. It's not too long. It's not too long until we open the doors again to the Rosenshingle Creek Resort, because they've been closed the whole time. They opened just for you guys.
121
days until GCX. So head on over to GCXevent.com. We're over 50% sold on our hotel room blocks. We'd love to meet you. We're starting to do our announcements. We've had Rexilla, Action Jackson. We've had Batty. I've announced that I'm going. I still have to make my
Tactical
video.
Tactical Grandma.
Tactical Grandma's going. Professor Broman will be there. King Gathalion.
Dr. Lupo might
Dr.
show
Lupo
up.
Hopefully will show up. Ames and many others. So a lot of the friends that you guys see us play games with all the time, whether you watch my stream, you watch Kevin's stream, you watch Professor Broman's stream, Dr. Lupo, King Thalian, all those people are probably most likely going to be there. So head on over to GCXevent.com, get your tickets today, and stay on a lookout for socials for announcements like more people that are coming, when we are going to announce the week-long charity marathon. That'll be announced very soon. So keep an eye at GCX socials across Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok, and Twitter. X.
You should also keep an eye out for things happening at the St. Jude Summit next week.
That
so
is
make
also
sure you
right.
Have your eyes peeled for that. Twitch will definitely be doing a stream live from there, so definitely stay tuned for that. But maybe there's more.
Cool,
that's all I'm going
to
say.
We've got a very cool thing to show you guys. If you were paying attention to Twitter, you might have already seen it. Just saying.
Ha ha. Also, King's Coast Coffee. Make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. Get your what are you drinking today?
You know what I'm drinking, Kevin.
Okay.
I'm drinking Bowbreaker. It's just so good. I'm on a Bowbreaker kick right now.
I am enjoying some Aztec this morning.
Oh, very good. I have Aztec loaded in the coffee machine.
So kingscoastcoffee.com. Go get your Aztec, your Bowbreaker, your Roaster's Choice, Spring Surge. The choices are endless. kingscoastcoffee.com. And yeah, did you get your Heck Delvers Do shirt from Lab 77 yet? I did, and I wore it to Disney. So if you saw
did any, okay, all right. So I have to ask, because someone in my chat said that they wore their Helldiver merch and they actually met some fellow Helldivers out in public. So, Kevin, did you meet any Helldivers in Disney World?
dude pointed at me in the resort, smiled, and went like this, like a little salute, and I nodded and winked, and that
yes,
was it.
Yes, you know, I will take it. That's fantastic. Very good. Very good.
Because he was with his wife and kids, and I was, and we were doing this.
Just a little democratic salute.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Caribbean Beach, we're right. I was walking to the pool, he was walking away from it right in front of Port Royal. And yeah, so hello, fellow hell diver. Heck Delver. God, what did I do? Lab 77. Get that shirt. It's awesome. I love it. It's one of my favorite shirts.
It's good.
Yep, Oga's Cantina, got that out of the way. Let's talk about
I know I jumped the gun on that one, but I really wanted
to know. Wanted to know. And now we never have to go there unless they happen to have an empty table that I don't have to sit next to strangers with. Or I go with 10 people deep, which probably will never happen. Never know. So after our assessment, I would say at the same time, the internet got very, very upset
about
as
what?
We did with the pricing of Star Wars Outlaws.
Oh yeah, that was rough.
And we did too as well. One of the biggest things that the internet went off on was that Jabba the Hutt was going to be locked behind a paywall for the gold edition and up.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, it's actually not true. So we're clearing the air.
Oh, thank God.
There is a Jabba set of missions that are locked in that gold edition. It is a mission set. Jabba himself is not.
Okay.
You will still, in the regular story, no matter which edition you get to interact with Jabba in Jabba's palace.
Okay.
But there is a storyline that Jabba gives you that is locked behind a paywall. So he is one of the main Syndicate characters.
Yeah.
They stated this yesterday. Not only is it like kind of egregious pricing, but now the confusion around it and not being able to clearly clarify what's what, where's where, like, is it worth it at the end of the day? That's my question. Another thing I see, and again, I don't know if this will stick, but you're getting it's a story game. I don't have to play it on launch. I'll watch streamer play it. And then when it drops in price, I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
Is all of this worth it is my question at the end of the day, Tim, to a developer or a publisher, because I would assume Ubisoft is the one calling the shots here, not the developer.
Yeah, it's not massive. It's marketing and it's the publisher proper.
But is it worth it?
It's a loaded question because I'm a content creator. So it's for me, like, yes, it is worth it. Like, to buy it, like, yeah, I don't want to miss out on the potential, like, highlighting content that other people don't get to see. For the Star Wars enthusiast, the person who just likes Star Wars that wants to play a Star Wars video game, I don't know. I have no idea if it's worth it to them.
If you take me out of streamer world,
yeah,
and you put me into the world of a regular person who doesn't watch Twitch and doesn't care about YouTube or anything like that,
yeah,
I would wait.
I think a lot of people are going to do that, or people who are already subscribed to the Ubisoft Plus or whatever, like their subscription services. Like, they might, like, that's probably going to be the route that everyone's going to go.
Hey, like I said last week, if you can finish this game in 2 months, which is plenty of time, in my opinion, go the Ubisoft Plus route. You will pay less than the base edition if you do that.
Yeah.
Their marketing strategy, I hate to say this, and it's kind of scummy, and this is not just Ubisoft, this is in general with subscription services, mm-hmm. is they hope you forget you're subscribed. That's what happens there. That is literally the financial play, is they hope we forget we are subscribed. So 2 months, and I think it would come out to, what, $34? 30, how much is it? I think it's $16, so $32. It's like whatever at that point. You know, you paid less than half of what the base game costs. You know, own it forever, but if you ever want to play it again, just pop another $16 in, you know? It's not a big deal,
right.
So that's the route I would go, because even to get to the base price, you would have to play it for 4 months,
yeah.
Which I don't think the game has 4 months of playability in it, unless there is a multiplayer mode we don't know about.
I would love for them to whip out, like, not at launch, but, like, make sure the game's good and stable and they figure, like, everything out. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, we get and by the way, here's
GTA Online.
Here's Outlaws Online. Because, I mean, like, you already have the infrastructure set up. It's already there. I would, like, now the thing is, they build it with that in mind. It's hard for me to believe that Ubisoft Massive did not take everything that they learned from The Division and slap that into a Star Wars game. And not like not like the looter shooter aspect of it. I'm more so just talking about, like, their ability to make an open world game that has multiplayer in it.
So not a battle sim, but an open world multiplayer experience. The last one we got for Star Wars was SWTOR. Am I wrong?
That's the only thing I can think of.
And the one before that was Star Wars Galaxies, the old sandbox MMO.
Oh, I was like, that's not right. That's a card game.
Yeah. No, the old the Sony Online one. So we've never had another multiplayer open world experience. Not a battle sim. We've had plenty of battle sims. We've never had one, which is interesting, considering the IP. I'm kind of shocked more popular IPs don't try and pull a Rockstar. Granted, Rockstar's budgets for their games are absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That they can shove a 50 to 60 hour single player stellar experience into their game, which makes it worth the price tag alone. And then on top of it, create a multiplayer experience that how long has Five been now? 11 years, 12 years?
Been a while.
I think it's 11 or 12 because it came out when I got married and I'm 13 years married this year. So GTA 5 release date. 13. Yeah, so it's 11 years, almost 11 years. I'm surprised no one's tried to duplicate that in Star Wars and or Lord of the Rings or Westeros or one of the many IPs that it could potentially work with. I don't know.
I don't either.
I hope there's more to this. And I'm not saying it's not worth it as is, but I hope there's more to it.
It feels like there's more. You know, it feels like there's things that they're just not telling us. I don't know how you justify the price tag. I really don't. Like, I can understand buying the base game. And I know it's getting more expensive, but, like, when Ubisoft is saying it's a quadruple A title, you know, it's just like, no, it's not. Shut up. There's no just like stop it. Like, now you're price gouging. Like, look at Helldivers. I'm going to continue to use Helldivers as an example. It's a $40 game.
And it's one of the most successful games. With a crap
ton of content in it. I'm sure, like, I understand that, yeah, the gameplay loops get a little, like, redundant. But, like, overall, it's like that's how you do a live service game. It's $40. And they're saying we haven't earned the right to monetize. Like, it's so hard. Like, it's shitty when Ubisoft is like, well, it's a Star Wars title. And we're Ubisoft. So there you go. Well, okay, Ubisoft, you don't have a great track record right now. Like, you haven't put out great games in a while. Your IPs have just been just milked to Kingdom Come. Nothing really innovative coming out of Ubisoft right now. So this game could be that game that puts Ubisoft back on the map as, like, one of the top publishers. But instead, they're going to try to bleed their user base for every cent that they have. It doesn't feel good to me. Because this is going to set a bar. Because if people buy it and they buy the $130 bundle that doesn't really, it gives you some extra content that's in the game already. The game content's there, but you're telling me that I don't get to play it unless I buy this version. I understand, like, people like DLCs and battle passes and things like that. I'm okay with spending money on content to come, but the content's already there. It's in the game.
And if the goal is to push people to Ubisoft Plus, then call their bluff. Because I did that again. I'm a huge Far Cry fan. Far Cry. What was the last one? Last one was 6, right, Tim? The one in South America.
It was the Far Cry one was. Yeah, 6, because right? we had the one in Utah, and then the second one was like the continuation of that story, and then we had the Columbia one.
I loved the cult one.
The Cold One was great. It had a very Fallout-y kind of vibe to it.
I loved it, and I love Giancarlo Esposito, but I had a feeling about this game, so I just did the Ubisoft Plus, and I was very happy I did, because I have no desire to go back and play that game.
Nope.
I didn't waste $80 on it, so cool. So call their bluff and do that, and then unsubscribe. You know, the game companies... I am okay with an increase on base games of about $10. I think that's fair. The industry hasn't changed. I said this last week. I am not okay with the special edition prices. I don't. You guys know I'm a pro wrestling fan. I don't like their pricing from 2K on those.
Mm-hmm.
Like the top edition is like $110. And what do you get? You get a bunch of others. You get alternate skins for some of the wrestlers, and you get a bunch of extra wrestlers. I don't like that. It feels grimy.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. So if there's a subscription service you can subscribe to, especially with a story-based game and not a live service game, mm-hmm. do it. 2 months, you'll save a lot of money, and you're out the door. So subscribe to Ubisoft Plus. That would be my recommendation for when the game comes out. Do it like the day before it comes out so you can download it.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the newest episode of Bad Batch. Be right back. And we are back.
Hey.
Fast episode.
Yeah, it was good, though. I like this one.
Very good, poignant, and we went places. The interactions with Admiral Rampart were absolutely hilarious.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a fun villain. Or he's not even a villain
anymore. He's kind of just, now. Yeah, well, I mean, like, he's kind of just a dick. And like, that's just what I like him. I don't even know how you classify. He's just a dick.
A captain's uniform?
Yeah, I'd love to just throw it if he's like, I was a vice admiral. So like, that was great. And then like seeing, I love having Echo back in the gang. I think that was fantastic. It was short and quick and to the point. I love seeing Omega kind of taking charge, and she's like, I've done this before, I can do it again, and this is how we're gonna do it. And she's figuring it all out. Like, she's not like this, she's not the scared little girl anymore. Like, she's grown up, she's had to go through shit, and she knows what she needs to do. She understands the mission.
Yeah, it's been fun. My other favorite part with Admiral Rampart was when they got off the ship and the guy was like, you're not scheduled to dock here. And he was like, I am on a classified mission, and if you have an issue with that, take it up with Grand Admiral Tarkin. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, it was Governor Tarkin. He was like, and he's like, I missed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just a dick.
So good.
I love it.
And I love how he's losing his mind over their plan. He's like, this was not what we planned on. Mm-hmm. She's just a fun-ass character in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, having Echo back is great. My butt was clenched at the end because they've failed a lot. Yeah, this season,
I mean, like,
so
okay,
like,
if there was no way they could mess that one up, like, it had to work. There was no other way. Like, after we learned how the coordinates are given, like, it is uploaded directly to the nav computer. There's no personal touch to it at all. It is device to device. It's all encrypted, and so the only way they were going to be able to do it is they had to attach themselves to the ship or get onto the ship. Now, as science vessels, I'm sure like any other like crazy Imperial ship that is classified, they've got all these pressure sensors that are in the cargo hold. They have motion detectors. A lot of things are managed by robots. So anything like they're holding that's classified that, you know, they don't want anybody to know about, it's all managed by droids. No human touch at all. So like, even that's what he was saying. He was like, those proximity sensors are going to go off and it's going to blow us up because those things, they're designed to defend themselves. It's like, yep. That's really, really cool. I want to say that one of these vessels was talked about in Thrawn. It might have been in the first. I feel like it's in the first book. And there's a vessel that they have to go to, and it's carrying spice in it. Like, they were like, these guys were smuggling spice inside these ships. They kind of talk over the complexities of them. It's cool. I like that level of detail. It was well mm-hmm. done.
Yeah, I knew they were going to do it, but there was that chance, like when Crosshair missed the shot.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. There was a slight ounce of anxiety there, for sure.
I was like, we're so close to the end of the season. They can't. I was like, oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. So interesting. We're now on our way to Tantus. It is not this big Avengers group that we thought it's going to be. It is a Black Ops
Rex
commando
was
mission.
There.
No, it's a Black Ops commando mission. Yeah. Unless they can transmit the coordinates in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I would assume that all incoming and outgoing transmissions from Tantus are blocked. I believe Crosshair says that in the episode where they're escaping.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I think this is it. I think it's just our core crew. And I think we're going to have our encounter with Tick.
Tick.
And the kids are going to be escaping. It's shaping up to be a wild ride. I think the people that said, oh, wait till the end of the season, we're going to see Ventress. I don't think Ventress is.
I feel like that's
back.
It. I think we're just, I mean, if she shows up again, it's not going to make any sense. It's going to be awkward.
I don't think we get Quinlan. I don't think we get Ventress.
I can't believe like they even like focused on that. Like in one of the trailers, like they were like, and Ventress. I'm just like, what the? Like she was there for all of like 10 minutes.
So it's good to see her. She's alive. And they said there'll be more stories involving her. So I'm excited to see how that plays out. What medium those stories are told in, we don't know. So I don't know. But yeah, I think this is a Black Ops Commando mission. I'm very interested to see what happens to our friends at the end of this.
Someone's going to die.
What if all of them die?
Oh, I don't think that'll happen. No, we need to end it with a, and they lived happily ever after, just like Mando and Grogu.
Pabu's gone, though.
Like, there can be other planets, Kevin.
I don't know. That, no. That death grip of the Empire is just getting tighter and tighter.
Jeez. What a dark thought. No, Omega has to live happily ever after because she's tied to Boba Fett. So there's gonna be some tie-in at some point. They're the same age. Like, why wouldn't we get a live action Omega in the Book of Boba Fett Part 2? We're totally getting one.
We are?
We're totally getting one. There's no way that we don't.
See if there's any rumors.
There's like the way they end that is still perfect for another season.
Lucasfilm has yet to announce any plans for the Book of Boba Fett.
I bet you it's going to happen. There's no way Dave doesn't let that one just die.
You don't think he'll just tell the
story?
Bro,
we got live action Cad Bane. Why the fuck would we not?
Well, I mean, again, you can still bring that back to the Mandoverse movie and Ahsoka season 2.
I want another Book of Boba Fett. I really liked that show a lot. I thought it was fun. I know a lot of people shit on it, but like the only part I didn't like is his gang of bio augmented or his cyber augmented teenagers. It was the Power Rangers. It was Star Wars Power Rangers. Everyone had a color.
Remember how upset the internet got over that spin?
Even
we were like the spin.
Spin.
When the guy shot and spun unnecessarily.
Oh. whoa.
We called it out and we were like, oh, that was silly. But the internet was like, I am very angry. It's like, dude, it's a spin. Chill out. It's not the end of the world. Come on. People that find stuff to be angry about
get a Book of Boba Fett 2, I would hope that we end up wrapping those characters into other shows.
I would bet my ass that Boba is in the Mandoverse movie.
I hope so. He is really fun. Cad Bane was great. We know he's still alive.
I would hope that he's in the Boba Fett or the Mandoverse movie, whatever that is. Heir of the Empire, whatever they're calling it. But yeah, all those stories are going to converge over the Ahsoka season 2 and then what we assume is Mando season 4 and then the movie. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's no happy ending unless it truly is about Bo-Katan, but I don't think it is. You think season 4 would just focus on Bo?
I don't see why it wouldn't, but it's not going to. It's going to be the Book of Boba Fett part where it's just Mando season 2.5.
It's just Mando gardening on.
Like, it's just like, as much as I want it to be, as much as I want Katie Sackhoff to take the role of Bo and like really own it as like the main protagonist.
She is the Mandalorian.
She's the Mandalorian. She is a Mandalorian. She is Mandalore. She is like, it makes sense. I mean, like, it wouldn't make sense for like Sabine to take that role. She's off doing her own thing in the Ahsoka show. The Din Djarin. Din gave like it felt like he passed that on like during that episode when he like bent the knee to her, like I felt like he was kind of like passing the torch. And so it's just more, there are more and more signs of just like, here you go, your turn. But that's just me. I would love to see Bo-Katan become the main focus of the Mandalorian, because we've been saying it for the longest time is that you can take the show title and it could be about any Mandalorian. It's called The Mandalorian. It's not called The Din Djarin Show. It's just The Mandalorian. And people love The Mandalorian people. And like, it would be cool to be more involved with the planet and all of like the cool stuff that we saw, like with the dragon down in the water. Like, that could be a huge story point. People like trying to attack Mandalore. There's a lot there. But at the same time, I don't know if they would just turn into a Game of Thrones style show and it would be slow. Like, we'd end up with like a really slow season because there's a lot of character development. I don't know if that's what people want. I don't know if that's going to be fun for Star Wars fans. I could be very wrong.
If you were going to do a Game of Thrones style show in that universe with Mandalorians, you would have to do it with Mandalorians.
I think in the state of the Mandalorian people, they aren't in a realm to do that. If we are going to get a Game of Thrones show, it has to be about the Chiss Ascendancy. I'm telling you, that show would fuck. It would be so good because there are so many houses. They're all trying to backstab each other. They're grimy. They all want to have power. There's major houses. There's minor houses that are under the major houses. They fight each other all the time. It's awesome. That is your Game of Thrones show. That is your young adult. You know, that's your 18 to 35 people who like Star Wars, who like Game of Thrones. That would hit it. Oh, I could go on.
Heard it here first.
I could go on all day about the Chiss Ascendancy. It's such a cool setup. And I'm telling you, Timothy Zahn wrote it like that on purpose, guaranteed.
There you go.
Anyways,
you could do a Mando show though, because you'd have to go back in the past.
Like, that's the only way. You would have to go back in the time of when the Jedi and the Mandalorian were fighting.
Even then, within the clans, you know, well, in Legends anyway, they're always vying for the title of Mandalore.
Sure.
So, you know, someone could lead, but they would always be, not always, but, you know, I challenge you to a duel, like that whole thing.
And there's just not enough of them now. They're barely hanging on.
And we saw the politics in Rebels, too. Even when they were kind of fractured.
Sure.
With the Imperial Mandalorians. But
all those leaders are dead.
House Ren. Oh, no, I know that now. Well, for the most part, we know they're dead. There could be some survivors.
Their entire planet was glassed. It's like, that's the whole thing. Is like, I would love to see how Mandalore is built, but they're all going to have to go underground. There's no way that you can do anything on the surface. I don't know how you make that interesting. That's the part that I'm just like, it would be cool if Katie Sackhoff was the protagonist as Bo-Katan and like, and it was focused on her, but she's going to be busy just doing political shit. She's going to be busy rebuilding her planet. Is that something you can make an entire season out of? And then at the same time, it's like, oh, I got to go help these guys out. See you later. Like, that doesn't make sense because she's busy.
I think you could have fun with that if you jumped a few years ahead when the rebuilding is kind of underway.
Sure.
They're rebuilding their society. I think that's when you could jump into it. Now, she's the queen of rubble right now. So they need time to get a foothold again. So my whole thing there is, We would have to do a fast forward if we were going to focus on Katie.
Agreed.
And I don't know if the timeline allows for that with Dave's vision of where he wants to take things leading up to Heir to the Empire.
That's really what all of this is going to revolve around, is going to be Heir to the Empire.
So we will see. Well, that's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Star Wars and Scotch. Tim and I will be in Memphis next week for the summit. I'm going to try and come up with a solution for us to record in Memphis. If we can't record, we'll come up with something. We'll get you an episode. Don't worry. It might just be a little late, but we'll figure it out. And then the week after is the last episode. Yes.
Yes.
And then the week after that, we'll be covering Tales of the Empire. And then maybe we'll get some guests on. And then after 2 weeks, we'll be back into it with Acolyte. I ain't complaining, Tim. This is great. Wild.
No, it's great because it hasn't been anything. And now we've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. So that's the plan coming up for the next few weeks. But either way, we thank you so much for supporting the show and being a part of it. We appreciate you as always. Please rate, review, subscribe. We are Star Wars and Scotch, Star Wars Scotch everywhere on the interwebs.
Yeah.
Tim is Darkness429. He's on Twitch. He's on YouTube. He's on TikTok.
What? We're also looking, we're also very desperate for a sponsor for Star Wars Celebration in Tokyo. So you guys rating, subscribing, liking, sharing can really help us out secure a sponsor for that. So let everybody know that you love Star Wars and Scotch. All right. You know, tweet at us. You know, leave it on the YouTube comments. Wherever you get this content, just like the crap out of it. All right. We need you to help us to cover content at Star Wars Celebration in Tokyo next year. Okay? All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
And he's Kevin. KMagic101 on Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, LiveSpace. And then he's Kevin XVision over on X Twitter. Kevin XVision. All right?
That all works.
You'll remember that by Kevin XVision is on X. You'll never forget it.
To you.
All right? Cool.
Couldn't give it to you.
Thanks so much listening. Tim. I appreciate you guys. The force be with you.
Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.